This morning, I want to talk about baptism. What is it? Why is it important? What does it mean? Should I get baptized? When should I get baptized? How should I be baptized? Some of those questions I'd kind of like to look at. Many of us probably have different experiences with baptism. Myself, I was baptized when I was around 13, I believe. And I have a few mixed feelings about it. It was kind of, in my church, the expected thing to do at that age. And I had made a commitment to Christ. But in looking back, I don't know if baptism was totally motivated for the right reasons. I think there was some peer pressure going on. You could call that good peer pressure. But my friends were at that age were getting baptized, and so I joined in with that, maybe thinking some too about maybe what my parents thought I should do. And so that was kind of my experience. I was poured. If you know what pouring is, it's basically I have some water up here and just take a pitcher of water and pour it over a person's head, usually in the front of the church. Three times, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's how I was baptized. I don't know how you were. Some of you may have been baptized as an infant here or a young child. Maybe you've been baptized multiple times. I've talked with a few of you who have been baptized multiple times. Depending on the church that you go to, they may say, well, you need to be baptized again because we do it this way. So three times forward, whatever the mode is that they want you to do it in. So you may have been baptized several times, maybe by immersion or by pouring. And some churches teach that baptism is necessary for salvation. Others do not. Sometimes church membership is directly tied to baptism. When you are baptized, you automatically become a member of that church. So in my thinking, baptism can be a bit confusing sometimes. What are we talking about? How do we sort through all of that and really zero in on what is it that Christ intended with baptism? And that's what I hope to do here this morning, is to kind of give some clarification. It can be very controversial in the church, and it has been. There's been a lot of disagreement about it, and unfortunately, even caused some significant division. During the Reformation, we see in the 1500s, many were actually tortured and burned at the stake and drowned for differing beliefs on baptism, if you can believe that. That was the result of differing beliefs on baptism. So this morning, I hope to simplify it a little bit. First of all, just a physical definition. Baptism is the act of pouring, sprinkling, or immersing a person in or with water. And so that's just a simple definition of what we're looking at when we talk about baptism. So immediate question might be, well, does that mean that every time someone pours water over me or sprinkles me with a squirt gun or dunks me in the pool, does that mean that I've been baptized again? Well, no, it's not. I'm hoping we'll come out a different place on that this morning. It's not really what we're talking about. And so even thinking about that, neither is baptism really, as kids you might look at it and say, well, that looks pretty cool. I'd kind of like to like jump in the creek like that person is over there. Looks like a fun thing. Maybe I'll be baptized. I'll just tell you right now, that's not really a good reason for you to consider baptism, just because you would like to maybe swim in the creek. So hopefully we'll come out a different place than that as well this morning. It is special, and it is important. And in many ways, it is a sacred time that has spiritual significance, and that's what I want to look at. Water baptism is an external symbol of an inward change in us. And I want to look at what that symbolizes. What does baptism symbolize? It symbolizes a lot for us, and we're going to go through that this morning. The first thing, we've been talking about this the last few weeks, that it symbolizes is a new birth. The old person, keep talking about this old person over here, old person has died and the new person has come. Somebody reminded me as I was thinking, talking about this baptism this morning, they said, well, it's kind of cool that your birthday was yesterday and you're talking about baptism. And I think, yeah, that is kind of cool because it is a little bit like a birthday party. I did celebrate my birthday yesterday, and it's kind of cool to see all the Facebook messages coming in, Instagram, Messenger, text, phone calls, family and friends that are celebrating with me for the time of my birth, way back some time ago. Celebrating and acknowledging that, you know, even that little 2 seconds that it takes to say happy birthday on Facebook, it's kind of cool. It's like somebody stopped and remembered with me that special day. And so when we are doing a baptism, we are really acknowledging and celebrating a spiritual birth in a person. This is what we're doing. We're celebrating that person's spiritual birth, being born again. And baptism is a time where we recognize this new birth that happens. And a couple of verses that I think about with this, we were looking in Colossians the last few weeks, and in Colossians chapter 2, Paul talks about this, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And then also over in Romans chapter 6, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. And so physical water baptism symbolizes the spiritual baptism that takes place inside of a person when they believe in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And I think probably baptism by immersion in particular symbolizes this idea that our old sinful self has been buried with Christ, going under the water, and we are raised to new life in and with Christ, coming out of the water. Now, I don't really believe that there's a mode specified in Scripture about how to do baptism, but we do see this symbolism in Scripture as we read Scripture. This idea of the new birth is a significant one that is symbolized with water baptism. One of the maybe most simplest ideas is just the idea of being washed clean. Water washing us clean is a very simple illustration that we have with baptism. I don't know, my guess is many of you have probably been in a situation where you haven't had a shower for a while. Anybody been in that? You just kind of feel, yeah. I remember we were traveling out west for a while, and we were going from campground to campground, and some of them were just the bare essentials campgrounds without showers. And there was about a week there where we just didn't have access to a shower, because we were going from campground to campground. And I remember, finally, I was like, I just have to have a shower. So we had one in the camper and I was like, we're going to hook this thing up and see if we can get it working. And I tell you, that was the most amazing shower that I probably ever had. It was awesome. When you're filthy, when you're dirty, and you're washed with water, what an amazing thing it is. If you've been working maybe outside or cleaning the yard or whatever it is, and you're just covered with sawdust and whatever it might be, and you come in and you take that shower and it gets all cleaned up. It's just an amazing feeling. And so baptism symbolizes this idea of being washed clean, this idea that when we believe in Jesus Christ, that we are washed clean of our sin. And that is the most amazing feeling to me, more so than taking a physical shower, is the idea that through Christ, all of these sins that happen in my life, in the past, that I'm struggling with maybe presently, that I might commit in the future, that through Christ, all of those sins are washed clean of me, that I'm not held accountable for them. That's just an amazing feeling. And so when a person is baptized, I think we reflect on that feeling of being washed clean from sin. And so that's another thing that is represented in baptism. I think, too, of repentance. Now, we see some parallels and signs in the Old Testament, maybe of precursors to baptism. But really, John the Baptist was the first to really institute it as we know it. But his was simply a baptism of repentance. He was preparing the way for Christ. And it was a significant role that he was playing, preparing the way for Christ and for the fulfillment in Christ. And repentance really remains an integral part of coming to Christ, doesn't it? I think of in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came, the time of Pentecost, and those people believed Peter's message, and it says that they were cut to the heart. And they asked Peter, they said, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." A person who is baptized is one who has clearly repented of their sin. It's a precursor to baptism. And baptism is a response of one who has repented. And so when a person is baptized, that is something that we think about as a part of that process, this process of repentance, of turning away from our sin, repenting of it. The Holy Spirit is also represented in baptism, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. We think in Matthew chapter 3, where John the Baptist is speaking here, he says, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." And so baptism is a symbol of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon every believer, as it happened at Pentecost and is promised to every believer today. Everyone who believes, the Holy Spirit is poured out upon them. And so baptism is a symbol of that. And probably pouring water over a person's head, it is one way of really symbolizing that pouring out of the Holy Spirit. It's a common practice in the church that I grew up in. Another way of symbolizing what is happening when we come to Christ. And part of what happens when we come to Christ is the Holy Spirit is poured out upon us. And so pouring is a good way of symbolizing that for a person in baptism. One final thing that I think of that baptism symbolizes is it symbolizes that we are all one. Those of us who believe, we are all one in Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, "For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit." So baptism is a time where we celebrate that we are all one in Christ. That we are brothers and sisters in the Lord, regardless of any boundaries that the world may want to press upon us or that we may want to press on each other. That as believers in Christ, as we come to faith in Christ, we join as one with the entire body of Christ around the world and those who have gone before us. And so baptism is really a community event. It's a time to celebrate together this person who has come to Christ and has become a part of the body. And so it's very appropriate for the body of Christ to gather around and celebrate this event with them. And so we have one coming up on June 18th. And I just invite you to make a priority as a body of Christ to come out and join in that celebration with those who are being baptized. Because baptism does symbolize this oneness that we have as we come together as followers of Christ. It is why church membership is often connected to baptism. Here at LCF, you're not required to become a member through baptism. We would love to have you join our church, but we feel like whatever local church a person joins is separate from the point of baptism. But you are, regardless, you are a part of the body of Christ. Whether you become a formal member in a church, you have joined with all believers around the world as a part of the body of Christ when you become a follower of Jesus. And so baptism reminds us that we're part of the church, that we were never meant to function independently. We were meant to function as a body. And many scriptures in the New Testament that talk about that, to function as a body. And so we remember that in baptism. One of the big questions probably with baptism that we look at is, does baptism save you? Is it something that saves you? The simple answer is no. And I want to review a few scriptures with you. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this, not of your own doing, it is the gift of God. Not the result of works, so that no one may boast. There is no ritual or outward act that can be done to save oneself or someone else, baptism included. All of the religions have rituals, even talismans for good luck or works, which are believed to in some way save a person or in some way produce good fortune. But Christianity does not have those things. We depend solely on the grace of God through faith in Christ. Baptism is a symbol of what God has already done in us. It is not a work that is done to us. It is a symbol of what God has already done in our hearts internally. So simply baptizing someone does nothing for them in terms of salvation. If we baptize a person who does not believe, that person simply got wet. And really the symbolism means nothing. There are some confusing verses when we look in Scripture. And I'll look at a couple of those. 1 Peter 3, 21 says, baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, we could spend a lot of time this morning on that verse and looking at its context, but I want to just speak to it briefly. Peter seems to be saying here that baptism saves you. However, if you look closely, he is clear that he's not talking about simply the outward physical act of the washing of water, the physical act of baptism. But he's talking about the internal spiritual baptism that takes place in the heart of the believer. So I'd encourage you to look at that maybe a little bit closer. I don't have time to explore that completely this morning, but I'll admit it's a bit confusing. But it's important when we look at Scripture too that we not just take a Scripture by itself and try and interpret it, but we look at it as a whole in the context of the rest of Scripture. We know that we're saved by grace through faith in Christ. And so we need to hold that truth when we look at these other ones and helping us understand what they're talking about. You could even look at Acts 2:38, Peter's response to the crowd when he said, repent and be baptized. You know, they asked him, what should we do? And he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It could appear that repentance and baptism are what are required for the forgiveness of sins, if we look at this by itself or out of the context. But if we look at what is happening here, We already see in the verse previous to this that it says that they were cut to the heart. They were already convicted, and they already believed. And so out of a response to their belief, they're saying, what do we do next, Peter? And this is the way I read this passage. And so Peter says, well, you need to repent and be baptized. Maybe the most simple answer to this question of does baptism save you? I love this story of the Philippian jailer, if you're familiar with that, where Paul and Silas are thrown into jail and they, of course, are singing praises, all chained up, and the Lord miraculously delivers them and all their chains fall off in the middle of the night. And the jailer is beside himself. He's about to kill himself because he knows they're going to do it to him anyways if all these prisoners escape. And Peter tells them all to stay. And so the jailer comes to Paul and Silas. I'm sorry. Yeah, get my stories mixed up here. He says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And what was their response? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Very simply, that's how we're saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. So wrapped up in all of that is repentance, baptism, pouring out of the Holy Spirit. But we're saved by faith in our belief in Jesus. Of course, consequently, in response to their belief, the jailer and the entire household were immediately baptized. I think, too, of the thief on the cross. You know, we know that he was saved. Jesus said in his response to his belief, Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. We know the thief on the cross was saved. Obviously, he did not have an opportunity to be baptized as a part of that. But we know that he was saved. And so we need to make sure that we keep baptism in the proper context as we think about it. My last question for you this morning is, should I get baptized? Should I get baptized? If you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, as the Son of God who paid the price for your sin, rose from the dead, conquering sin and the grave, then yes, you should publicly affirm your faith with the church through water baptism. Jesus calls us to do it. It's one of the commands that he gives the disciples, to go into all the world, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So if you believe Jesus calls you to respond to that belief in baptism and to celebrate that with the church, to publicly declare your belief. And so I would encourage you to do that. I want to speak specifically to children. If you've made this decision clearly to follow Jesus and surrender your life to him, then I believe that you should follow through with baptism. Jesus welcomes you. I want to caution you a little bit, though. Just from my own experience as well, you need to clearly understand what it is that you're doing. I think the more you understand, the more meaningful that time will be for you. You don't want to just do baptism just because your friends are doing it or because your parents think that you should do it. It needs to be your decision that you've said, I believe in Jesus and all that he is and all that he's done for me. And so I want to follow through in obedience to baptism. That's where it should come from, that kind of decision. If any of you are looking for a ticket, a salvation ticket, got a ticket to ride, if you know that song, it's not a ticket. Baptism isn't a ticket. It's not got my ticket stamped and I've got that covered and I can just move on with the rest of my life. That's not what baptism is. Some people look maybe at church membership in the same way. I got my church membership. I'm covered. I don't have to worry about it anymore. I got my ticket punched. But that's not what following Jesus is about. Not about that. It's about genuine faith in the one who saves you. Genuine faith. Jesus is the one who saves us. If you've been baptized as an infant, I would encourage you to be baptized as a believer in response to your faith. I believe that's what Scripture teaches. And so I'd encourage you to follow through as a believer, response to your faith, to be baptized in that way. I think infant baptism to me feels a little bit like what we did last Sunday, a child dedication. And it is, the intent I think is admirable in many ways, our desire to raise our children to follow Christ and to believe in Him. But baptism doesn't save. It can't be looked at in that way. It can be meaningful to dedicate our children and dedicate ourselves to raising them to follow Christ, but it has to be their decision to follow Christ. And of course, that raises the question, I have 3 minutes to cover, what happens to infants or children who don't yet understand faith or belief, or even those who are mentally handicapped? What about those people? Reuben, you want to answer that one? The Bible, in my mind, doesn't really say. It doesn't speak to this. And so I think we have to be very careful to speak for the Bible in this regard. It doesn't really say. It's one of those mysteries, I believe, that hasn't been revealed to us. I do trust that God is just. And my belief is that people who don't understand, can't understand faith or belief, are not yet held accountable for their sin. I believe we're all born sin from birth. And I think we could all see sin in our children from a very young age. But I believe there's a point where a person does become accountable. They know, they understand the choice that they're making, whether to believe in Christ or not. And I think at that point, they're accountable. I can't tell you when that is. I think God knows when that is. And there are some that will never reach that point. And I think they're covered by the blood of Christ. That's my belief. The Bible doesn't really state what happens. But I don't think that we can force other things to kind of try and cover our belief on what we think should happen. If you're here this morning, you've been baptized as one who believes, and maybe your life has strayed significantly. Maybe you feel like you're not even following Christ at the moment, or fallen away. Being baptized again is not a solution for you. It doesn't wash away your sins. You know what you need to do. We've talked about it the last several weeks. Take care of what's going on in the inside. Surrender to Christ. Repent of that sin. Be obedient as one who has been called out of darkness and into light. Kill that old man and put on the new through the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, this morning we covered a lot of ground. I would encourage you, if you still have questions, let's talk about it. Talk about it with others in the church about what you think, how you understand. I'd love to hear from you if you have questions about some of the things that I've talked about. And I know that was Paul, not Peter, just in case you want to correct me on that. Not sure why that was in my notes, but But I would invite conversation about baptism and what you think about it and your experience. We're going to be celebrating together a baptism on June 18th. And I would love, if you are interested in being baptized, talk to me about it. And we'd love to baptize you along with others. We have several that are being baptized that have been baptized as infants and want to be baptized as believers. We have others who have never been baptized that will be being baptized that day. So if you're interested, talk to me. Love to have you participate. If that date doesn't work, we'll do another one. No problem. Let's close with prayer. Lord, we thank you for the salvation that we have, the forgiveness of sin that we have through Jesus Christ. And we thank you for this time of celebration in the church. We think of baptism and all that it means, all that it symbolizes for us of what has happened in us and through you. And this morning, we just want to give thanks once again for all that you have done for us. That through what Jesus has done on the cross, that we might be set free from sin. That we might be washed clean. That the old person has died and a new person has come. And so, Lord, we're very grateful this morning. And I pray that you would be with us as we celebrate this time in a few weeks. May it be a great time of celebration, remembering all that you have done for each one of us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.